Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tom Thayer.
Oh, no!
Chicago Bears radio analyst.
That's him.
Don't you think you'd practice at home flipping it a couple times, make sure you get it right? It's like a referee in basketball, making sure you throw that jump ball up straight.
Tom Thayer, 1985 Super Bowl champion.
We are the Bears, shuffling crew, shuffling on down.
Tom Thayer.
Touchdown Bears!
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Tom Thayer is simply a legend. There's no other word for it, and he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Tom. How are you,
morning,
sir?
Morning, Tom.
Good, man. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're relieved more than anything else, right? Isn't it just good to have a win?
It's funny. It's funny you say that because, you know, after every single one of the games the Bears have won, you know, maybe not the Minnesota game, but, you know, Jeff always says, how come you're not more excited? How come you're not happy? Because I'm just relieved. I'm not I'm almost nothing. I'm just relieved that they were able to win the game and then, you know, either try to build momentum or improve or whatever the case is. But since you brought up that word so quickly, it brings that thought to mind immediately.
Because it was frustrating early, Tom. I mean, the first couple quarters until the last series of the second quarter, you know, it was more the same. And something changed. I mean, after the 4th-and-1 play, the offense clicked. Mitch seemed to be much better after the completion to Broniker. What, in your mind, changed for the offense?
The completion of Broniker, I really do think that meant a lot, you know, because when we sit up there in the booth and we see the Bears have these stalled drives and then they finished in a field goal attempt. And we always look at each other in the booth going, wow, that's going to come back to haunt you. That could come back to really, come back to hurt you. And it seems like it always does. You have two semi-successful drives, you get field goals out of them, and then the other team comes up and throws one play score or has a scoring drive, and the next thing you know, they're up 7-6, and it seems all the momentum is back in their favor. You know, I think that throw by Mitch, it said a lot that he is still willing to make those attempts and hopefully the player can come through and make a catch. And then Broniker went up there and high pointed the football, has showed great focus, control when he hit the ground, and it was an exciting play. And it's small increments of improvement or whatever it is that really can ignite the feeling on the bench that things are getting ready to be pointed in the right direction, whether it's individually or the whole team. So I do think that one throw, it created some confidence within Mitch, created some confidence that, okay, now the defense can play a little bit more aggressive, because maybe they are on the right track. But, you know, at the beginning how it stalls out, I think it's frustrating to the fans because, they want to sit there and cheer. They want to cheer first downs. They want to cheer touchdowns. But they're also waiting on that other edge. And they can explode in boos as quickly as they can cheer you. And, the crowd, that's my second key to the game, was feed the crowd to keep them on your side throughout the game.
Yeah, that's interesting because clearly the boo birds were out with the first three and out. It just, that offense, when it doesn't function, is frustrating to watch because it feels like it's never going to function for whatever reason. And getting that fourth down, I was asking David if he felt that was just a very makeable play, or is it a time in the year where you make a call that you wouldn't make earlier in the year because you're almost desperate for some success, or is it just not wanting another three and out? We just can't do this anymore.
Well, you know, it's number one, you don't want another three and out. Number two is you kind of learned a little bit more about David Montgomery. I think up until that point, he's had only 7 stuffed runs. So you know that he is good. He's a tough tackle, especially if you're only trying to gain 1 yard. And, you know, that's the biggest challenge to every single offensive coordinator, offensive line coach, head coach, is always challenging the offensive line, saying, look, if you can't go up there to the line of scrimmage and get 1 yard, no matter if they know the play, then it's time to make a change. So, you know, I like the challenges. I'm, you know, the passiveness of waiting for something good to happen, I think it's over for this season. I think it's about more of creating your own good and going for it on that fourth one. And I know, man, if they didn't get it, that stadium would have blew up, man. It would have erupted into just a house of horrors and boos. But fortunately, Montgomery was able to get the play, and then we know the results of it after that.
Tom, I think the Bears caught a break with Matthew Stafford sitting out, but I think Jeff Driskel acquitted himself quite well for a backup who, you know, had only started five times previous to yesterday. What do you think that what effect did he have on the game? And do you think that the Bears' defense, after learning that Stafford wasn't going to play, did it affect him mentally in any way?
You know, that was one of my concerns. I wish that Stafford would have started the game and Driskel would have came in three plays later or something, because then you know you're not getting caught off guard. You're not becoming overconfident in what you feel that you can do to an unproven quarterback. You know, I just think that it gave the Detroit offense a lot more attackable width. And what I mean by that is Stafford, you know, the first play of the game is an RPO. You're not going to run an RPO with Matthew Stafford. It's going to be a straight handoff. It's going to be shotgun. It's going to be more conventional of a running style. But then you got this young quarterback who has some legs underneath him. Now you kind of expand your width, both with a moving pocket and the running game. You kind of expand the role that Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd have to have in being able to stop the defense. If there is moving pocket, there is width, there's a quarterback that gets outside the pocket. So I think the scheme is devised to help a young quarterback that's inexperienced, but also put as much stress and challenge on the edge of the Bears defense, both in terms of not allowing those guys to rush freely or have a lot of responsibility before the ball's ever snapped and you get a chance to rush the quarterback. And so I think there's a lot of different things that Darrell Bevell, the offensive coordinator of Detroit Lions, was able to do with Driskel that maybe he couldn't do with Stafford.
I was surprised that Mitch was as forthright in the postgame about wanting Cody Whitehair at center and James Daniel back to guard as he was. And I don't know how well that worked out in your opinion, if it's going to remain that. I mean, Matt Nagy kind of played down some of the snap issues that you had with, Whitehair hadn't snapped in a while, and some of those shotgun snaps were difficult.
Yeah, I think he did have three of them that kind of came in low that, you know, Mitch had to revert his eyes to the ball and then back up field. But, you know, I think, to me, I think they're really fortunate to have Cody, because he's a guy I think that could play any position on the offensive line, including the offensive tackle position. The key is because we don't have a chance to look into the eyes or listen to James Daniels each week in meetings or in films or even on the practice field. Is he confident in his improvement? Is he confident in what is required of him from the center position at this level this early in his career? I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that James will never play center in his career. I just think that if I'm going to have confidence on the offensive line, maybe it is with Cody at center and James being a little bit more relaxed, less responsibilities, no responsibility before he's going to try to pull off his block. And now you think about going in the next week with Rashad Coward and Daniels at the guard position and Cody at center with Aaron Donald in there. I do have concerns on how Rashad is going to react to Aaron Donald, because you get these big guys for Detroit that you can get your hands to them, and then it's just a power battle. If you get out of your stance slowly and Aaron Donald, he's going to be laying on the quarterback when you're trying to retreat out of your stance. So it's going to be interesting how it goes week two. I don't care what Mitch says. I think that it's almost nowadays that he gets picked on for something he says, and in the big picture of trying to get improve it, it's meaningless. You know, from what he said last week about the TVs, that became a story. And whatever he said, he's just answering a question about James and Cody, and he's trying to answer it as politically correct as he can. He's got more of a rapport with Cody at center than he does with James. So I don't necessarily think it, I don't know if it made the offensive line any better, but if it did help maybe put Mitch into more of a comfort zone with it all, trying to do whatever you can to make this a better football team from one week to the next.
Tom, I think Nick Kwiatkowski came through yesterday in a big way, subbing for Danny Trevathan, whose injury may put him out for a while. The takeaway that he provided at the 25-yard line changed the game. That said, he isn't Trevathan, and I think that you wonder about the impact of Trevathan's absence will have on a defense that still needs to create some takeaways. What do you think moving forward?
You know, Nick Kwiatkowski is one of the best studied guys on this football team, and he is really into his iPad, and he is assignment sound. You know, Nick Kwiatkowski is not going to, you know, be timed in a 40 the same as Danny Trevathan is. Danny Trevathan, he moves sideline to sideline really well, and he works on the interior against the run game. I think that Nick has really improved a lot over the last couple of years, but I think he's puts himself in the right position more often than not because his study habits are, you know, he really accomplishes a lot from his iPad. So he can help put himself in the winning position. Like that interception, all he's doing is you know, after he reads the initial start of the football play, and then he's got to undercut that wide receiver and just stay in a competitive area in case they run that slant route. So they run that route by the wide receiver, and he is in position to make the interception because the quarterback didn't think about him. He was only thinking about the route that was being run by that receiver out there. So, hey, I like Danny because he's a hell of a leader in the locker room. He's a, you know, he's a good teammate, and he is prepared. But I think, you know, they're fortunate to have a Kwiatkowski because he is prepared, and, you know, you guys talked, you know, he probably might be one of the most valuable draft choices in the last couple of years, too. And, you know, he's a good fourth-phase player. He plays special teams very well.
Eddie Pinheiro, coldest weather he's ever kicked in, and he missed an extra point. Does that matter? Is that going to be an issue closing out the year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be an issue until the season's over because I think every game, every week, there's going to be a new concern. If he was out there kicking on a day like it is right now, there's no guarantee. They might never kick an extra point or a field goal. They may have to go for it in every chance. And then you're going to go into L.A. and the bright lights and the Coliseum, and the kicking surface is not going to be perfect, but, you know, the conditions may be perfect. And, you know, I think it is a continued experiment. But when you sit there on, you know, how – for the Bears' lack of scoring and how meaningful these extra points and field goals are, you can't have down games. You got to be in there and you got to hit your kicks. And I know the weather's going to deteriorate, but you know every kicker in the league's got the same challenge.
If you were going to play him on a game like today, you wouldn't take a knee to get to him.
No, you would not.
Oh, stop it.
No, you would not.
All
good
right,
stuff,
Tom. You're the best.
Great call.
All right, you guys. I'll see you.
That's our guy, Tom Thayer.
You're just mean, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.